this presentation will be on the Wikipedia process known as Request for Admitship. It is the process that Wikipedians go through to gain the tools, deleting, undeleting, viewing, deleting contributions. I'm sure you all know what they are. We're very particular on who we give these tools to. You generally need months of experience, thousands of edits, with preferably most of them in the article namespace. Although, this summer in particular, there's been more drama than usual, in my opinion, due to something called ageism. Candidates are being opposed due to their age, with basically mainly lack of other reasons in some candidates, and the opposition of it was outraged, so it quickly became a big issue on Wikipedia. And there were several big arguments, WTRFA, you can go there if you want to read all of that. Just lots of unnecessary drama surrounding that issue. And much less of an issue was the bulk of the namespace contributions. This didn't really cause as much of an uproar. It was decided that article experience was needed, like featured content, and anti-vandal experience was frowned upon. And my guess is that since before this came up, that there are a lot of anti-vandal amendments that were granted in like 2006, 2007. That's just my guess. I wasn't really there. And over the summer, there's been basically a consensus among some Wikipedians. RFA is broken. It's another issue that you can find throughout the archives of WTRFA. It's that there's something wrong with it. There's something. We can't pinpoint it, but we know it's there. There have been many solutions proposed on WTRFA, even one proposed by me, actually, but they've all been dismissed as perennial proposals. And it looks like it's going to stay this way, with the general consensus being that something is broken, but no one can pinpoint it. I mean, of course, there have been people who have broken the mold. Like, you probably won't have heard of this, because Ian Holds' recent RFA, I think it was in October, he gave people 4 days to give him questions to answer, and then he would start the voting, which would be for 3 days. And then there was a lot of drama surrounding the fact that he avoided voting, and he ended up withdrawing, but I really applaud him for trying to bring on such a change to such a dramatic area of the project. My final conclusion, since I'm 12 years old, I kind of had the whole ageism, and the whole, it's just a piece of crap, basically. No, to put it bluntly. And I was very, yeah, as Brad said, stubborn. I was very, very opposed to RFA because they were being, in my mind, unfairly opposed. But lately I've come to the conclusion that RFA isn't broken. Just the attitude that it is the only broken thing. I intended on the itinerary for a discussion to take place about this.
Right. Well, I have a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
The age-related proposals have always been sort of cyclical. There will be a period of time when, for whatever reason, the group of people who are paying attention to AFD, to RFA, to RFA, will be focused on these issues. Then there'll be another time when those issues sort of go away. I mean, 2 years ago, the age-related opposes were sort of a high point. In 2007, they dropped off dramatically, mentioned during the anonymous dissident, who everyone knew was 12 at the time. His RFA result was 166-1. So, I think, you know, sometimes it's not, sometimes when you have a younger editor, it's obvious from the topics that he or she contributes to that the person is younger. It's not necessarily good, it's not necessarily bad, it's just a fact. And those types, and other times you have somebody, I mean, Josh, anonymous dissident, wrote philosophy articles. And nobody would have guessed he was under 40 if he hadn't said so. Some people don't. So you have some of that feeding in also. My personal view is that the idea that younger people shouldn't be administrators is based on the fallacy that every administrator needs to be able to do everything. My view has always been when I see, and I've nominated someone who was 13 at the time for adminship, he didn't pass, unfortunately, and people said, you haven't done this, you haven't done that. Well, adult candidates opposed for not having done enough enough image-related work, for example. I've never uploaded an image in my life. The joke is not enough portal talk edits.
Oh, that was that Gertrude put that in. It was originally lack of media wiki space edits. Yeah. Someone got mad and Gertrude changed
something. Whatever it is, you know. My view is that, you know, if you have a competent person with clue and with enough experience and a reasonable number of administrative tasks, I don't care whether he or she is 13 or 14 years old or 30 or 40 years old or 70 or 80 years old. One of the key administrator tasks, and this came up in a recent Archon decision I read that had nothing to do with a younger editor, it was about someone in his 40s, is that administrators need to show good judgment on what specific tasks their own qualifications qualify them to do. If there's an AFD on an article in vector calculus, an administrator who knows nothing about vector calculus should not close that AFD. Mm. It doesn't matter whether the reason she or he doesn't know about vector calculus is that he's a college student studying humanities and hasn't taken vector calculus, is 70 and has forgotten vector calculus, or is 12 and hasn't gotten to vector calculus. You'll close a different AFD. Conversely, there have been situations of a 15 or 16-year-old who was an admin doing a great job. He's not studying right now because he's busy at Harvard. He's not admitting right now because he's busy studying at Harvard. But he got himself into this huge thread on ANI about some editor who was making all kinds of legal threats. And I wrote to him very confidentially, and I said, we're both administrators. Actually, this was before I was an admin, so I said, you're an administrator. Theoretically, you outrank me, but you're going to take a little bit of good advice because the younger administrators can do 98% of what the adult administrators can do. 98% is not the same as 100%, and I am instructing you to have nothing further to do with this person. And he did. But as long as somebody can show, you know, good judgment in what areas he or she is going to go after, my personal view is that the age should not be relevant.
Well, I've been coaching for the last year, user actor, and just passed RFA. And now everyone knew he was 15 when he passed RFA, and that was a concern in his first one that he failed. And he knows that he's mainly there for technical tasks. He's not going to be trudging into an RFC or trudging into one of these lengthy ANI threads just because that isn't his specialty. But he knows that bot work or categorizing or those sort of things, that's the kind of thing where is his strength, that's what he's worked on and improved himself. He codes Hubble and so.
Who's this?
At short.
Yeah. I mean, there's no formal criteria about what defines an administrator, right?
Right.
You've never actually...
Administrator is defined operationally, someone who's passed RFA.
He's running for Archon. Mm-hmm. Someone pointed out he has never made luck. And he's been an admin for 2 years.
What's wrong with that? Well, the cat says on her user page where she says, I really block anybody anymore.
Right.
And I think, you know, hey, if that's her position, she's gotten this far, I respect it. I'm not going to yell.
I don't really block him anymore.
I think quite clearly, administrators specialize yourself in what else.
Yeah,
look, like I said, I do vandalism work, I do username work, review on block requests. Maybe every now and then I can skate over to 3R, but that's always, you do yell, reviewing 3R requests is, a special.
I took one shift on 3R, gave out a bunch of warnings. Everybody walked their opponent block, came and hated me, and I...
I mean, for talking about being an assistant, being in user space, and strictly being an editor,
right.
Really, the only thing I expect of an administrator is to be there.
Yeah.
That's it. And it means for you who have to be administrator, but which one administrator wants.
Mm-hmm.
The criteria is that you're going to have to be on hook.
I
do expect administrators to know, like, one of the things I did shortly after I got the tools was close AFDs. I don't do that anymore, but I used to, I always say that the PI, I can always tell the users who will become eventually administrators, they're the ones who are active on AFD early on, because that's a good place to learn what policy is and what it isn't.
Yep.
I always think. And that's why I close AFDs for a while. That can be a chronological job and so on. I just, after a while, someone just casually suggests to me, you know, maybe you're closing some keys or some snowball cases a little too early. And I thought, okay, I'll back away from this. Besides, it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, the reason the ages have popped back, I will use the users, which is JDS 93.
Oh,
I love that.
I thought that was the worst example of ageism.
Exactly. Look at Friday's first
attempt. It's toward it.
Some people still blame him that one. Sorry, it's a 17-year-old girl.
Friday's always been consistent. What bothers me more is when people want to oppose somebody because they don't think candidates actually qualify for legitimate reasons, illegitimate reasons, but they pick on something like age or whatever.
If the nominator had been a different person, it might not have gotten the same one.
Yeah.
Or they made it like
after
everybody.
Yeah. Because she didn't withdraw entirely due to age. She majorly badgered every single opposer. And while he's a nice person, I don't think that he handled himself very well. And that started the RFC he made on himself, and that eventually led to him resigning the administrator pools.
Well, let's not get into one person.
I just thought that whole RFA was a travesty. I voted support.
We actually are having, for the past couple of months, the fewest RFAs since in the 2.5 years I've been around. There's only one or two pending a week.
Now, W.J. Scribe had an opinion on that. He sort of blames himself for that after the Arch Transit issue, that people are a lot more wary of going toward tools and they know how strict it is that people will be considering them.
Well, Arch Transit fooled everything.
Yeah.
Arch Transit. Arch Transit. I was one of the two arbitrators who looked into that case. Arch Transit.
Take this difficult.
Arch Transit was a very good editor. He wrote a few articles. He was very, very busy. Very busy at DYK, doing very, very good work. He was apparently for the purpose of becoming an administrator and then going crazy
and watching his own socks.
He started this long series of controversial users who everyone else thought should be blocked. He would unblock them. He blocked the administrators who unblocked people were saying, we can't recall him yet. We just appointed him. A couple of people tried to mentor him, spent an enormous amount of time, and when FT2 and I looked into it, we had to check if all the users in the protecting turned out to be him. I actually got to go into admins as the, while FT2 was writing the notice on ANI, I was the one who actually had to type emergency request for a steward in admins. We didn't want to tell him we were going to give the sys out, but we didn't know what he'd do. It turned out he might have been Derek 6.
He's got 17 time-out cases now already.
Yeah, because of pain. So RFA was perfect. And somebody said, you know what? It worked. We got 40 good articles out of it. Of course, someone had to go back and check the wall. They turned out to be legitimate, valid articles. They're all still
there. That's a lot of work just to wait for one day of
One of the things that shows up sometimes at an RFA is when somebody handles themselves poorly when they get challenged.
That's Evo Shandor's a case in point.
There are RFAs that go south. I've tried to counsel people occasionally. You don't need to respond to every oppose. Answer the questions. The number of optional questions. I saw one RFA that got the 40 options. But I think the last RFA was where nobody asked a question. They made up for doing the art compilation where I was 110 questions.
Because we were speaking of just bombing. Eco Readage, great editor, great,
unpronounceable username.
I just call it Eco Readage. Anyway, he was at like 80% support, and then he started badgering the opposers. He had falling out with his former adopter, and that eventually got him like down to 70, 65, and he ended up withdrawing.
Another great one, dihydrogen monoxide.
Getting over 200 supports in an RFA actually seems to be a bad thing in the long run. Can't sleep, cloud will leave me, had over 200, and he wound up leaving. We lost Fadriel. I had to leave for a while. Daniel is having his issues right now. It's just an interesting group of people.
I guess, because I guess also mentioning, you know, if we want to look at where the RFA process is broken, we're looking at RFAs that either were withdrawn for, like DHMO, or cases where the administrator was later desisted, like our insurance, I'm also thinking of Bedford, too. Yeah, because like, I know him very well, and, you talk about, there was a clear case of somebody getting the tools who obviously didn't have the maturity later on to handle it, even though he's still editing. And he was my age, he's 37.
Most of the controversial BSISOP cases have been, adults, and by adults, I don't just mean not 12, I mean, not college students either.
People with me,
The fact that I'm in the top decile of admins by age, I find scary. It's spread out of Don Albert in front of me.
Because I was actually, since I was like a while up about the ages, and I was talking to someone on IRC, it could have been that or what, and I said, you know what, the next time someone files an RFA, it opens states that they're an adult on their user page. I said, I'm just going to put opposed. The user is an adult, and most controversial admins we've had have been adults.
They try not to say that explicitly. Because you don't start it when you start a fight on how they've been doing it. Someone will usually pick it up at some point. But then that's when people start looking for number of edits, that's when people start looking at age sometimes, that's when people start looking at, hey, you haven't done this or you haven't done that. You're trying to find something to oppose someone who thinks going to be unsatisfactory, but you can't or don't want to say exactly more. Well, I just finished a project categorizing all the RFAs.
I saw
it. And listen,
I didn't see that word.
It was on WTRFA, and it was 2,000 edits, and there are 3,600 RFAs that are listed in the database. Mm-hmm. And it broke down that there were 1,996 failures and 1,594 successes. Which is about 44% successful.
Which,
were you counting multiples as one or?
No. If it was a redirect, it didn't go into it. But if it was like a 106, that was 6.
To the count error?
Yeah.
You must have another one.
Oh, yeah. I remember an IRC, probably shouldn't disclose this, just don't tell him. He PM'd me, but his RFA was I just had a question for Mr. Bassan.
Yes.
Were you using AutoWiki browser or any automation?
Yep, almost entirely.
Because you would have been a saint if you didn't.
Yes, I had 10,000 when I went for RFA, and 8,000 of them were AutoWiki browser.
Yeah, that's what Cam Weber actually did to Jay Delano. Since Jay Delano, he's an anti-bander, he uses Huggle, Twinkle. Weber just typed in oppose, robot. And then four tokens.
And now my neutral, though, was for bad signature. That was my RP. For bad signature.
Look, we're going to have to be roaring on the ARCOM, so.
I'm pretty old school when it comes to RFA. You know, the original was like, admin-ship is no big deal. I still believe that. You know, what does it hurt to have an admin who does, you either does nothing or doesn't do very much, as long as they're like not doing anything really terrible.
I think it's the reason Jimbo only made it about 3 months ago, when someone said, do you still think RFA is no big deal? And he said, well, no, I don't think it's no longer no big deal. And he said it like in this vague way where you can go either way on it.
Well, I think, you know, like, it's not that, like, admin-ship has changed so much, but, like, all the social baggage and the community drama baggage around it has made it no big deal, so that it's not really...
Well, it's another factor. People will sometimes say that they want an admin to look at it, when it's not really an admin, they mean they want some reliable editor to read it.
Yeah, and admin is kind of labeled to that.
And admin is kind of a label, but as the project gets extremely large and as people don't know each other, and unless you're going to be active in it to the extent many of us are, where we know a great many of the other people and how reliable they are, so you need some sort of way of, people look for some sort of way of trying to figure out who...
Well, now, comments have a thing called trusted user, which is not a user right, but it's a status that is granted a person where they're allowed to review things
like
and...
I had to change some lanes of pictures of my own pictures.
And to read images you need to...
There's always a question, do we want to fractionate? Right now, we have no administrators, one status either have or you don't have it. And obviously, admin-ship can be broken down into different... There's the ability to block, there's the ability to roll back, there's the ability to this... And the question has always been, do you fractionate the user right? And we've taken that. We now can assign rollback by itself. We can assign account creator status by itself. And over time, instead of having RFA as a holistic process, do you fractionate it? And the problem with that becomes that there's no real agreed-upon way. I mean, if you give somebody rollback and it doesn't work out, you can roll back their rollback. And it doesn't require a whole formal community process.
But the impression that I do get, though, is that RFA and an administrator is not really a technical role. When you get right down to it, a lot of people use an administrator because, as you pointed out, David, he's in some sense, or she's in some sense, a trusted person. And the RFA process, in some sort, is a community vetting process. You know, I don't want to say that the tools are irrelevant, or the technical backgrounds are irrelevant. But we're looking at a social phenomenon primarily.
Right. Yeah. If I am going to decline a speedy, for example, which I do a good deal, I did this long before I became an admin, and people would occasionally challenge me because I wasn't, which is not correct. But if I now do it, I say that I am, because otherwise people who don't know will challenge it, essentially, though it has nothing to do with being an administrator one way or another. Mm.
I think you're right, though, about the trust aspect. I'd like to say that in my RFA, which I can't remember what the final score was, but there were only four poses to, like, high two-digit number of supports. I was like, I didn't know I had so many friends. I like things.
I expected more poses also, but then this would have to be repeated. I did not want to go up until I was certain it would be a pose. Now, some people feel that way, but other people who are seem perfectly willing to go up at a stage when they know they're not going to get enough support and just keep trying and not let it...
Well, Ted Hamer has agreed not to go up until late 2009.
Considering some of the ways he's been still closing things, he is no more prepared now.
I don't know. He is so quick with his...
That was quick delay.
Let's not get into particular individuals. But in general, I have people, okay, when are you going to work for administrator? When are you going to become for administrator? If you read my RFA, there were a lot of comments of like, it's about time. I think it'd be better than way too early.
Say it up. My dad's just getting worried, so I had to do my presentation as soon as possible.
Okay.
We're having a group of
17-year-olds.
We have
presentation
that
you
can't even legally get a beer
in
dinner.
I was just going to say is, I, I, submit a proposal for reform of admin-ship. It seemed like a good idea at the time. It was just, it was not a proposal. My proposal was to set it up like request for rollback, to have a bureaucrat, to have just one bureaucrat decide whether...
That's too much, and the criticism probably got with that it was too much centralized power.
Oh yeah,
person.
Definitely. Because
that would make the bureaucrat.
Exactly. Because what I felt was, if the community was taken out of the whole process, then much drama would be eliminated, but something's, you know...
Drama would transfer from...
Exactly.
...the process to arguing about the process.
Exactly.
The results were there, of course, are okay. Anyway. Mitch, you're up.
Oh, I remember what RFA Gooch proposed. That was just in 89s.
Now I start checking back every week.
Yeah, I have Tanglebot at the top of my user page.
Well, I started for a while. I decided that all my supports would be in rhymed couplets. we had somebody called Ice Cold Beer running for
I love that one.
Yeah. What did you do?
Being I'm a high school student, a senior this year, I'd actually like to coordinate and come back for the chapter. Hello? Okay, yeah, what is it?
That's always so good.
Okay. Okay.
Just soap up.
Okay. Technique glitch solved. Pretty much, I've written the title of what I think the group should be. As written on my header. Pretty much working how the school is, how we can correspond with schools, like the colleges, which I'm not really worried about yet. Now, even though I should be looking into that. Thing is, you gotta see how community outreach with schools should work, rather than just corresponding with bands and doing all that. The idea is pretty much get schools involved with the media. Now, that my introduction, which I think I've already done in retrospect. Okay, one thing about the Wikimedia New York City chapter can bring to the school districts is a great benefit of the resources. However, to get to this point, there's a lot we need to cover and plan out. You know, this little piece, this is what the presentation is about. Now, why schools can benefit from Wikimedia? Although I would say, as a high school senior, the textbook and books are the way to go in school. I believe that textbooks will cover only a part of it, which we don't. And I've seen some textbooks that are covering up the information, rather than just giving the real facts and details.
And of course we have Wikibooks, which writes textbooks.
We should be
writing more, and Andrew Woodworth has been very active with that, and he wants to promote, you know, to classes, and the idea is that, like, he has, at one point, he wants, one year they write a textbook, and next year they use the textbook for the next class.
Now, the two words I'm going to use mainly in this presentation is need and want. Because the students and the teachers and the district administrators, obviously, have both. You gotta decide what's best for them, what's best for them, or what's best for them. Now the student, what do they want?
Let's test a little bit.
Children and teenagers are naturally curious, so am I. And he certainly is. We want to know about life, history, where they live, obviously. That was one of the original ideas I had to projects like this, was about a more serious thing about where they live, and the history of where they live. The way they were created, this is a big topic that they could take forever to finish. The greatest aspects of time, and what they can do to help in their life, in this case, like time. The beneficial knowledge that comes from learning, oops, it's a fragment. Yeah, sure. This comes from want A, which would make them understand what happened and not make mistakes that normal people would. Because don't forget. Anyone who doesn't know that history is bound to repeat it. And I don't think we want another war on our hands as is. Each student has their own point of view. One thing is, better, the more information they can gain, the more they're going to get to benefit their opinion, rather than going on and on and on and on and on, using probably little factual data into opinions that are probably way biased. Which I'm sure is used a lot on Wikipedia, so I'm not quite worried on that part. That the student needs, this is what the teachers think the student should have. Obviously, even though students have their wants, the teachers, professors, and district administrators know well enough that the students have their needs. The student will personally follow their wants and learning rather than following what the teacher says. But I'm going to quote, people who are bound, who don't know that history are bound to repeat it.
You just repeated that.
What do students really need when learning? This is a really broad topic because most districts, including the two I go to, because I do go to two schools, have a really broad range of subjects to teach everybody. And pretty much, as a chapter, we're going to have to follow and decide how exactly we're going to follow this. because one district could say, you have something else here, something else there, something else here, wherever in New York. The effect of the teacher and professor. And the ultimate point is more up to the people who teach the information, to what they believe are the needs of the students are. The route a teacher can take can really benefit the students after years of learning what we, the Community Foundation, can give. However, to get to that point, there's a lot of steps to go through. I know I'm redundant here, but
I've had a lot of teachers, professors, that are they have like a knee-jerk reaction against Wikipedia. And I had another history professor, and she was just, she wouldn't touch a 10-foot pole, and she would like, whenever she, you know, she was sort of, it's not so little bit of a class, she would search for the images of the artworks on Google. And she would try to avoid Wikipedia, like, she went to Google page search, like, wow, Google image search is not like Wikipedia. But, I sort of try to convince you that's useful for some things. I think we should engage professors more in terms of, you know, understanding what, that if there are certain versions, you know, that we can point to fixed versions of articles.
I'll leave the college stuff up to our college student here.
Yeah, because even one of the teachers at my school, when we were doing a project, it was for literature class, and he said, Wikipedia is by no means an acceptable source. And he said, they say people who control the edits, but they're lying.
I was covering for a teacher, one of the two teachers in an inclusive class, and we were in the library in a computer cluster, and the library had on PowerPoint and using a couple of databases, and this was this was an English class, had paid a lot of access for, and was explaining to the kid about research, and as part of her PowerPoint, she had a few sections from the RPA research using Wikipedia and circled the little, in a nutshell, graph. Yeah, which was, she's right, a lot of, actually compliment her for me pointing out Wikipedia that says you should not use Wikipedia as your only source unless your paper is about Wikipedia. And it's still, I think, I'd like to let you finish the presentation, but
it's still been a while, so, okay, yeah. Well, I'll explain. Now, how do we get started? This is going to commence the chapter, which in this case is us. It's not even just going to a school and bugging the district administrators and teachers that we should do this. We have to start small. Imagine, let's use Sam here for an example. He just can't bring a whole army load of people to the district administrators. We have to make sure the student can take other people and want them to bug their teachers. We can't just have a whole parade come in. You gotta understand that we can't start small. But most of us have a lot of steps. Number one is our chapter decision. There are a bunch of questions here. So we really start plans out. We have to decide the chapter to where we're going with this. The process of doing this is one of the major levels because there's a lot to consider. One.
Okay, that's weird.
Screwed up on computer then.
Look
at how can people devote their time. Because obviously, if we do this in a chapter, then we should who can devote their time. Who should we target specifically? I'm going to go into more detail later on that. Should we do this on a case-by-case basis? I wrote that, whether you agree with that idea, because then it's just wah, wah, wah. We spent a few meetings over this. That's a question you guys have to consider as well. Who do we start with? That's a little redundant, but what are the benefits of helping them as a chapter? If you want to make a success, be able to see into all of these ideas and then go on with them. As I said, I'm going to the student alone, which was the example you used to have. As I said, we can't go to the principal and district administrator without it. It starts small, blah, blah, blah. After we go to the student's wants and needs, we should also believe that the student would want to help tell other students how they could benefit. The the students, not exactly that popularity, but the students, if there's enough belief into this one guy's belief, if you understand what I mean by that, can go to their teachers and see if they can start there. Look at Media Foundation, one, helping with, we can do this by one, helping with Media Foundation, or two, actual work from learning from our information. It'll help the students in the long run. Now the teachers aspect. Naturally, teachers want to test and challenge their students. I know because I deal with that every day. To challenge them with the information from their beliefs, which obviously is going to come from your opinion, which comes from the heart. If you're giving a foundation a lot of time, cover more than any textbook would, as I've said. I am pretty sure that the students wait until learning from us with the Media Foundation projects is large and broad, but the teacher will eventually spread it to professionals and make the outreach for the information stronger rather than weaker in the long run.
I think it's very valuable that we find teachers and professors who are actually interested in it. That's right, the gateway, I think.
Wow. There's
so many teachers who would not be interested at all.
Well, the point of this is to have the student try to persuade, you can make massive changes if you get the mass to do it.
Yes.
After the teacher, because there's obviously district professionals and all these corrupt people you don't want to deal with. Looking after the teachers and the students make the impact and outreach, we must look at they contact us, we the chapter will have to contact the district administrators and make sure to ask what's most beneficial to their students, rather than what's most beneficial to the teachers and what else. Because I know some students ask, what reading level is this article on? Because it'll tell you what age group it really tells you, like somewhere around a 16, 17-year-old basis, which is not good.
Good question. What is the reading level of Wikipedia?
Take context and put it into Microsoft Word.
No, the better thing that it's a tool server and you can go to the page in it and it'll give you
I found that the other day. It's really good.
Yeah, because actually on the simple English Wikipedia, there's been some controversy over featured content such as did you know folks get good articles and about Flesh Kincaid and reading ease. And there's been several discussions about that on that wiki.
The problem is really difficult. The problem is the Flesh Kincaid of my English. Yeah, the problem is that the Flesh Kincaid problem. The problem probably can't be expressed in simple English. That's what we're going to work on. All your discussions copied in simple English.
And see what happens between types of districts and where they're located and what they want to know. And all that. Now, the thing I came up with, man, compare and contrast urban and rural versus rural. I know Daniel, for example, lives in a rural area compared to the city, obviously, or possibly Newark, which is about 20, 30 minutes from me. There's going to be major differences in what they can afford, what they actually have, and what they actually want to know. And actually what they want to have as well. Now, I sort of went over obsessive with 18 beneficial questions. Now, let's say it's easier to see here.
But no, it's not. This is an age-related thing.
I usually stand right here, but or if you have hard enough eyes, it's written right on the paper. Okay, anyway. Now let's say, hypothetically, the chapter, that the first, if we start with the process I just explained, and it actually becomes a success, we could, as I said, we could look into bigger projects, like compare and contrast. Now, I put the two terms, urban and rural, together, but you'll see later on that I've retaken the need and want of both and implement them together. Now, the 18 questions. What resources do the districts have? That's the first question you've got to consider. Two, what kind of places are open to new ideas? As you said, teachers certainly aren't. So much. So obviously, you got to answer who's open to this. Are the rural going to be open to this? What would the outreach change with the urban or rural? Because obviously if you're in an urban area, the outreach is actually go faster than in a rural area such as Sussex County, New Jersey, where everything's packed into one little area. And they're all over the place. What would happen if we targeted urban areas? It's a question to consider because the great effect between urban and rural will tell you what we have to put into one or to put into the other. And obviously the second question, next question is, how do we target rural areas? What kind of effect does this have on us? That's the big question. Because obviously if we're the ones doing this, we just can't go on and say that that all of it's going through the school and not just us.
Yeah.
Not us alone.
We'll see if we really expand the contributions of students. There can be a huge contributions of students. If we get this into the mainstream, it will definitely change the community.
Yeah.
More
constructive contributions.
Well, it'll be incredibly controversial first. But it can revolutionize things because people write so many, students write so many papers. Mm-hmm. And if that energy was directed to something that was lasting, we could see huge change, I think.
And I've worked with four projects with schools through the repeat. And one of my, just off the end, was J.D. Murray is a college professor, and he had expression class where they featured articles for general after the time. And they wrote the 2000th featured article that they found repeat as their freshman project. So that was a group editing thing, they find sources. And now he's an administrator, and he does that with classes. And he's into philosophy, so it really fills a need there. Another one was with the University of Florida, where an engineering professor decided his two classes of 200 people would do an educational experiment on those people. And they all registered accounts in the form of EAS, 401, 402, 403. And he gave lots of them for MySpace and all that stuff. So I contacted him at his university and I explained it to him, and I got someone from Wikiversity to come over, and we moved all of them over to Wikiversity, and they did their project there, and we're happy. Another one, I forget the name of the school, but it was like 30 people, and they all came in, they all started getting blocked immediately, the professor was telling them to work on an article, and I got someone from Wikiversity, they came over, got in touch with the professor, and with the students over there, and right now on A&I, there's a 97K thread on a school where a professor told his students,
yeah,
to each start writing articles, and the trade is to run a pro, blocking everyone, I think, and trying to delete the articles and reverting them, and it didn't end well.
I teach a city university, and we have a problem at my campus of anonymous editors vandalizing stuff all over the place. I had difficulty convincing an administrator, I finally succeeded,
a real administrator,
to block anonymous editing for our campus for a year. They would do it for a day or two. I finally found one admin who agreed to do it for a year. And the grounds I presented were that there was no reason for any person from our IP to engage in anonymous editing. We're a university, and you should register. And if you're not willing to register, you should use some other IP, because we are not an internet service provider.
You're making it a school policy to register for which
you need. Yeah, and yeah. So,
many schools don't have such a policy.
You can't implement that without the cooperation of Wikipedia.
They should be able to do it themselves.
Oh, yeah, we have a problem. Although I am not much interested in computers, I'm tenured in a computer department. All of my undergraduate study is in Scandinavian studies or theater.
Well,
however, our administrative computing center is completely incompetent.
That's not unusual. Yeah, the people in charge of the computer know at least it
doesn't our department is more or less competent, but we actually have a firewall between us and the administration to protect us.
Emails the OTRS system, there is a template for called consent lock, where the school consents to have their IP blocked for as long as it's registered at the school.
So we do allow that.
Oh, we do
allow that. We do allow that. Schools.
Right.
My school has a very locked set of times. I didn't want to have it.
We approved it.
Should we and can we change things on the project that I don't think something should go wrong? But obviously, the answer is yes. But I have no hope that if the search goes through that we need to. What do urban districts want? What do urban districts need? Obviously, there's going to be a difference between the students and teachers because they'll have different opinions. And I go on why urban will have big differences. The next two questions apply to rural schools. Because obviously they have their problems as well. Now, what can they afford? What can they not afford? I'm not saying it costs money to them. I'm saying, what do they have now that costs them actual money? Now, local urban schools and rural schools benefit from the community help and off the community help. Because using DDG as an example, because he works in a library that actually more or less libraries can be a big help in coming into this project rather than what's going on about this quickly and working with the school because it can be outside outreach rather than just focus.
We find, unfortunately, that at most schools, the librarian at either high school or college level, that the influence or prestige that the librarians will have with respect to the faculty is extremely low.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm
talking more of the
one thing I mean is that school libraries, but like town libraries or like state ones, for example.
Yeah, we can work with, the libraries and libraries are classes. I remember when we had the meeting in the Brooklyn Public Library, the local library there was very enthusiastic.
Yeah, but I've done a little of formal attempts to try to get various conventions librarians interested in promoting this. And basically, this is not the way the profession works. It is much more of essentially a reactive profession.
You know, librarians?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that it's what you need, what they need to do is be aware enough to be able to handle the questions when the faculty ask them, or when the students ask them. It's probably the realistic.
And that's right. I mean, you're not going to, new technology rarely gets introduced through libraries or library departments. New technology, the use of Wikipedia will come more and more into schools as the next generation of teachers who grew up with Wikipedia become the teachers.
Yeah.
And they will understand not just what the weaknesses of Wikipedia are, which a lot of teachers do understand, but what some of the strengths can be and what some of the opportunities to use it can be.
It's not just generation, it's also a matter of individuals. My success in getting people to use Wikipedia is to a considerable extent a matter of kind of cornering somebody and sitting down with them and showing them what to do and why they want to do it. And hoping that it sticks. I mean, this is the fact, is the point. I mean, librarians typically work at that one-to-one level, and if we have success, we have success that way, not by teaching classes.
There are basically three ways. There are three ways. I'm really not boring out. There are basically three ways that I think students use Wikipedia, or can use, or that schools can use Wikipedia. One is as a research tool itself. And of course, you tell students you can use it because, you know, if you read the sources that are cited, you know, just cite the Wikipedia article, who knows who wrote it, who knows who tampered with it. The second thing is where you've got a blank page and you say to a student, your assignment is to write a Wikipedia article on a piece of sculpture, on a town, on a whatever, that does not currently have an article. And if there's a gap and the student writes a good article, the student gets a good grade, we get a good article, that's great. Over time, the number of important topics that have no coverage,
for what
has to there are still plenty of red links and plenty of past
articles. One idea is for implementing the now dead wiki reader into it. Because I see a lot of potential in that whole project, but it just seems to have died off with no apparent reason.
Can you explain it to us for those who might remember Wiki Reader?
Wiki Reader is pretty much, I believe, I'm not too good at it yet. I think it's either a book series or a PDF series, and I'm not sure on either. I forgot, and I have to read it over again, but it implements putting articles together on a basis on each topic. And we eventually would be able to implement it for, I have a feeling if you actually put it back to active status, you would actually benefit the schools, because then, if it's just a PDF form, they just have to throw on a CD, there you go, you've got your information. The teachers can use it. Thing is, the Wiki Reader is dead. We really gotta get that thing moving again.
What Wikipedia 0.7 or whatever?
0.7 or 1.0 projects, I don't understand what the purpose is, because they're just selecting certain articles. I'm talking about a whole topic, Steve, because 0.7 and 1.0 are implementing just certain articles into it to show the reason why with that, rather than
okay, well, just to go on what Brad said, I think your point too, that there's not, you know, Brad's point, there's not a lot of understanding, and I know this because I'm a teacher, I work with teachers, I watch students when I'm in computer clusters and watch what they're doing, and whatever teachers and librarians feel about their kids using Wikipedia as a source, and some are actually more open to it, not as a source, but as a basically the background material to get them to good sources. You know, their kids will, their students will go to Wikipedia articles when they do their internet searches. There's just no way around that. And I think that if I was putting in a presentation for, you know, for teachers and librarians, well, you know, I call it very simple. You know, what Wikipedia can and can't do for you and your students. That's what they really need to understand.
It's part of what this is. Yeah. It's what we can do and what we can't do.
There's not a lot of understanding of what it's like on, I think, who is who quoted that. Yeah, you put your t-shirt saying something about the kids, you know, they say that people control the articles, but they lie. I don't think anybody's ever, you know, the teacher probably never met anybody until you explained it to them later.
I don't think that there's
people on the other side of it. There's a lot of people think that all the Wikipedia editors are anonymous teenagers. That's not true. We know that's not true.
And
28%.
Yeah, I've just seen pictures of prior meetups. I would not imagine people of this age, I mean,
there's a certain selection effect in terms of who comes, who gets permission to come, etc. There's also a movement to repeal the child abuse laws if you make one more comment.
Yeah,
there's a
very
selection effect, obviously,
that
else can get here.
You're not that five slides up, that's it.
Oh, God!
What type of district is asking for what, what type is the other type is asking for in the other. Because obviously, as they go on, you'll see why, and exactly why, this is necessary.
What I think Grant is getting at is that an approach to this sort of thing really has to be thought of as a very experimental basis first before you start doing it on this sort of a systematic level. I mean, we have no idea at this point, besides a few anecdotes of the sort we're talking about, what's going to work. And also, I mean, the schools available to us have to meet. I mean, there's almost nobody here who really has access to rural schools, I think.
Yeah.
In the first place.
Well, I don't think we actually chat, you don't really say that for Skopje.
Yeah.
Well, that purposes, it's New York City and immediately in our media environment, which for the most part, metropolitan, only version on suburban.
Well, I mean, I think it's, the biggest difference we see, I mean, is versus high-resource schools and low-resource schools. And, you know, we have certain times, I'm sure a lot more students in high-resource schools are already introduced to Wikipedia, but a lot more, you know, students in low-resource schools can use free content.
So, when you were doing your divides of school districts, up high, you know, high year, the formula has to do with the amount of kids who get free or reduced price lunches, the amount of families receiving public assistance in the district, the amount of kids in special ed. But I keep explaining where that's called. High-needs, low-needs, and there are high-needs districts that are rural. I taught in some. There are low-needs districts that are also rural, and I know I haven't been.
Okay. And this is next piece. I'm going to go back to reason why rural versus urban is actually a really interesting idea because all these things sort of hinted at the way students will be at one type of school will be different at another. Example: urban districts. They're more open, usually have more money. I'm using money as another example again. They usually know spend no spend to put in the best for the students.
And I think you'd be thinking more about the difference between like wealthy schools and poor schools because of
that and how and what yeah,
pretty much because when we think about like a lot of the poor schools in New York City, I mean they're urban, they're very urban, but they're low resource schools. They have a lot in common with, you know, maybe a poor area of New Jersey.
Part of my idea was to give them better resources, not just the resources they could cover up and some textbook that isn't in my schools.
Even in schools at the same time on resources, how it all varies, how much independence the individual has just
had. The key variables for schools and for school districts, and obviously every school district and every school, that every teacher and every student is an individual, but it seems to be the key variable isn't necessarily urban versus rural, but how many computers there are in the district on a lot of your computer bases, and what percentage of the students have access to computers at home, because really people come to Wikipedia who only have access to the school environment or work environment, that they can vote more than it's done at home.
The thing is, don't forget, Wikipedia isn't written on paper, but I do know well enough that there are people who are trying to get it put on paper. Don't forget, because I've seen projects that are trying to do that, and actually put it in books rather than just online or anything.
Yeah, so the CD version of Wikipedia and all
this. Oh, also that's print, also the French printed, the German printed variants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As I was saying, because the other problem is, do students really in urban districts really want to learn? I live in an urban district area, or suburb in this case, but I have enough students that don't want to learn at all. One thing is probably that rural community living at
There's some kids that actually has it for the schools and 7 hour break for whatever crap they're putting up with at home.
But no teacher seriously expects to be able to reach students.
That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say more of just trying to get students involved and learn more. It's not saying every student wants to get involved. I'm not saying we make communists that everyone wants noise. I don't think anything about Wikipedia will cause the horse to drink.
They're currently spending their time much more on Facebook.
explaining the much more case I'd like to hear. Now, there was a discussion on one of the mailing lists about adding more of a Facebook-like atmosphere to Wikipedia to attract a larger reader. But I said I'd try to larger anyways. And I didn't read the details of it.
But I didn't read the details of it.
Is using Facebook to do serious writing of various sorts.
Yeah.
And there's no direct direction to a lot of working with Wikipedia stuff that just gets one of some very informal and chaotic ways of doing things. A lot of this comes up from the base level.
You might want to check with Miloš. He's a Russian steward, or not, and he has been pushing things like this outreach, I think.
I've got him on Skype, so I can actually talk to him about it.
That was a little Skype from there.
Huh?
That's about to come on Miloš.
Miloš. Now, I'm going to deal with the rule aspect, because obviously, I'm going to feel biased here and say, rural districts have more respectful students in the long run.
Let me finish.
In a rural district, they're more forced to learn. The school's part of their daily life. So in urban districts, school is like, whatever, this is just something I have to do until I graduate.
You're engaging in a very, very cross-cutting.
That
is a huge generalization that was contradicted by my own experience, honestly. See, the amount of students in both urban and rural districts, the kids who are serious about learning, and the kids who, hey, I'm doing the school thing until I'm 16 and I'm dropping out, I don't care what grade they get.
I think talking locally, we would say that Westchester, a more rural area, and Dutchess have more resources per student than, say, an urban district like New York City, Queens, and that kind of thing. That I think would be
it's an impossible place to start trying to change the educational system that it would be difficult.
I mean, the only really important lawyer parents of the Aberdeen will be able to follow us in the water there, sure.
Consider that a little bit.
I'll say about Merck's urban districts. I was on school for 2 years, and even within the drama districts that we think of as the same, one has a large shopping center and one doesn't, so the tax burden for one is 50% higher.
Okay, two slides left. There's no more rural stuff.
Thank you.
Now, well, that's a chapter decision making. Because this is really important if we want to put this through. As Wikimedia Foundation chapter, we have to look at the 18 questions that we might basically did earlier, plus whatever else we can think of. Because knowing a big group, we're going to end up having more than 18. We also have to see, again, their needs and their wants as students and teachers. Because obviously the students' wants and the students' and teachers' wants are completely different from each other. And we have, as a chapter, we have to make a decision what to implement for each. Which I have to memorize yet. I didn't mention 4C, which I skipped for you guys. You don't hear any more rural stuff, so I skipped it. We should have skipped that whole sentence, but we have to look into who's running it. Because obviously, someone like Daniel, I'm not going to say really from last year, but being a teacher yourself or substitute, you have a little bit of a personal bias towards it. Because obviously someone like me or Sam or students will have the bias in the other direction. Say if you take someone who is not involved in school at all and put them on the head of this project, obviously it would be a big difference because you put someone who's got the situational bias between the two, you end up running into speed bumps.
Yeah, you just keep on going to say, you need someone who understands what it's like in the school. The two of you understand it more what it's like in high school than some of the older people. I understand a good deal of it from the teacher then, but then again, not necessarily from your end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't forget, most Al Gore teachers have been in school themselves at one point. And a great many of the older ones who have had children are now all in school, which is yet another
he's the best in the running it. And finally, the conclusion, the last slide. I really is, actually, this is, I wrote this in my form. After all, the issue is sorted out, that if something does come up, and everything's sorted, so what we're going to do first, second, third, and so on. That we can actually really make success. Because as you saw by this presentation alone, it's a really long process. It will take actually a lot of off-repeat devotion, because obviously we're not on the site as is right now at this minute. So obviously a lot of off-repeat like us, off-repeat devotion, which would be using things like Wikinews, especially I think we go great with schools. Wikibox, Wikipedia, obviously, guys, they gotta work on making the articles better. We just can't do it ourselves. We can't just put all the cruddy stuff in, like the 5 cent stuff. What the hell is that gonna be? If we put that together, I think we'll make better districts out of the everything we have, which is still a varying bias at the moment. But that's about it.
It's a very nice agenda for us and another 200 people to say. It does not mean we should not get started in some experimental way.
I think more inclined to sort of like pick up on a comment that you made, by the way, great horses and great things out there. I find myself at the moment that I'm disinclined to go out to schools and beat them on the head and say, come with you, help with you.
That's why I said not to come to. I said let the students start to believe. That an army of men. And
what are you using to do that?
And
that is high school level they started like my school, that's school. The students were willing to do, were willing to start things like the pre-culture club and things like that. Then you probably see a bit more openness, openness on the part of the faculty. I mean, I've been willing to go to some of the umbrella organizations for some of the school districts that are like the very BOCES in the Hudson Valley region of New York. I'm sure there's some more, umbrella regional school group.
Well, how many schools I go to is like the BOCES school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't understand because I actually go to one in New Jersey.
Right.
But obviously there's going to be more outreach there and open because obviously if you get some problems, even though they're like a phone and text wizard, you're not always going to know what's your computer. I know in high school, a lot of people actually rely on me to work on a computer for them because I'm the one that makes sure he knows it. And when I was like, how do you do this? How do you do that? What do you do here?
Would you surprise how many people don't know this? Even students.
It's not just schools.
Yeah.
I had to talk to a student in this computer lab I was in. The librarian was like, anybody can have a Wikipedia in their book. I'm like,
really?
Yeah, what if we didn't know that? I think you are the last high school student in America that does
not. I think we lost the school.
What?
The BOCS can still go to it.
Even though on that type level that they know that Wikipedia is used, when it comes to the actual mechanics of making change, we got a free copy of Wikipedia Reader's Guide. You can leave a note on his off page, he'll send you a free copy, I think.
True.
And that would be an excellent resource to distribute. Last time I visited myself the artist, was talking to a bunch of school librarians who were told us, the New York State certified teaching assistant and substitute teacher, and B, as an editor and administrator of Wikipedia. Look, they needed demystifying.
But Michael, when you made your point about professors, starting articles,
there's a lot of problems. I mean, a lot of that, I think, could be solved by saying that there's a
PhD explaining how it's going at WP School.
Yeah.
And also, there's a lot of people from Wikiversity who love working with schools who wander into WP.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all methods set up for working with professors, working on projects, like short summary things. And these people from Wikiversity just love it.
some professor wanders in with 30 people out, they'll take one under their wing, help them with the editing process, wearing the tools of editing, so.
Yeah, most small projects, if they show up with people and ask, can much, 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 much,